You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do not forget the resource of the month. If you don't have the movie on DVD, Fragments of Truth, get a copy. You will be happy to have it as an addition to your library. If you don't watch it this week or the next week, when you do watch it, you'll see that it is a wonderful tool for demonstrating that the Bible is genuinely authoritative and true. Also, my book, Has God Spoken, which not only demonstrates that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but answers the question, if God has spoken, what has God said? In other words, it teaches you how to read the Bible for all of its substantial worth. Both resources available for those who support the ministry. You can find them on the web at equip.org. I wanted to say something about resurrection as we head towards Pascha, as we head towards Easter in the Western Church, April 12th. In the Eastern Church, April 19. I wish the calendars would cohere, but as of now, they don't. But in any case, it is so important that you prepare your heart for that momentous celebration. In that vein, a number of years ago, I read two captivating stories back to back. The first was titled Scientists Find Fountain of Youth. And the story cited a Harvard Medical School study in which deteriorated organs, spleens and livers and intestines, all recuperated from degenerated states. Anti-aging therapies dramatically impacted devastating afflictions like dementia and stroke and cardiac failure. However, there was a gotcha. While the experimental treatment turned weak and feeble old mice into healthy rodents by regenerating their aged bodies, replicating the same effect in human beings, well, the article admits, is hugely problematic. The second story was equally captivating, though not nearly as hopeful. The article in Scientific American was simply titled, No Truth to the Fountain of Youth. According to the authors, efforts to combat aging and extend human life date back at least as far as 3,500 years before Christ, and self-proclaimed experts have been touting anti-aging elixirs ever since. Scientific American went on to note that anyone offering anti-aging products is either badly mistaken or is flat-out lying. Why? Because even if science could eliminate today's leading killers of aging human beings, aging would continue to occur, ensuring that different maladies would inevitably take their place. The article concludes that it is an inescapable biological reality that once the engine of life switches on, the body inevitably sows the seeds of its own destruction. For those embracing a Christian worldview, this latter conclusion rings absolutely true. The living know that they will die. And that's precisely what Solomon said, and what was true in his day is equally true today. Postmodernity seeks to deny death by driving it into the closet, trivialize it by treating it irreverently, circumvent it through the use of clever cliches, or to feign the discovery of the illusory fountain of youth. In sharp distinction, Christianity demonstrates that while death is difficult, it is ultimately defeated. Christianity never offers a peaceful way to come to terms with death, said Philip Yancey. No, it offers instead a way to overcome death. Christ stands for life, and his resurrection should give convincing proof that God is not satisfied with any cycle of life that ends in death. He will go to any extent. He did go to any extent to break that cycle. And that is the very message that radiates from the lips of righteous Job. Satan, you'll recall, wielded the sword of death with devastating fury. He butchered Job's livestock. He murdered Job's children. And if God had permitted him to do so, he would have snuffed out Job's life. The devil's devastation was so complete that Job's wife lost all perspective. Job saw his plight from the perspective of eternity. Remember those words, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Abraham, the father of faith, also yearned for resurrection. By faith, well, he lived like a stranger, an alien in a foreign country, because he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect was God. And so by faith, Abraham purposed to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Why? It is because Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And then in the New Testament, remember Martha? She too believed in resurrection 4 days after her brother Lazarus had died. Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha, of course, answered Jesus saying, "I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus then said to her, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And in saying that, Jesus pointed to himself as the very one who would overcome death and the grave, and as such ensure that all who put their trust in him would likewise discover the genuine fountain of youth. So wherever you are in your Lenten journey, I hope, I pray, that your eyes are focused on the promise of resurrection. Not only did Christ fulfill the entire mosaic of Old Testament resurrection promises, but he guarantees our resurrection as well, yours and mine. Jesus said, "Don't be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear my voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." If Christ if Christ had not himself been resurrected. The promise that he will resurrect dry bones and scattered graves would be as empty as the tomb that guarantees its fulfillment. Christ has set aside the triple barrier of nature, sin, and death. The barrier of nature by incarnation, of sin by his death, and of death, well, of death by his glorious resurrection. Again, keep your focus on resurrection in the coming days as we celebrate Easter and Pascha. Coming to a station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
How good are the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based? Some skeptics of the Bible claim that the text has been deliberately changed. Dr. Craig Evans set out to investigate the actual texts that have survived from antiquity and interviewed experts who know best in the eye-opening new film, Fragments of Truth. To receive the DVD, Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell. Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine. The indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick. Why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence, demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to Walter in Asheville, Alabama, listening on the web. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
The reason I'm calling is my wife died a couple weeks ago after a long battle with cancer. And in expressing condolences, friends and family are they have good intentions, I know. But a few have said things about, my wife's name is Tammy, about how Tammy is looking down on me, or Tammy is watching over me and stuff like that. And I don't think that doesn't seem accurate to me. I don't see how somebody in heaven could look down on this earth and still remain joyful, which we know that they would be in heaven when you look and see all the bad things that are going on in this world. And I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Yeah, well, I think it's an interesting question, and for you, a very poignant one. I'm sorry for the loss of your dear wife, Tammy, but Tammy is absent the body, present with the Lord. So she's very much alive. As I wrote about in a book called Afterlife, we actually go through three stages. We have life in this world, then we have life after life, which Tammy is now experiencing, and then there's life after life after life, and that is the time after which Jesus has returned and we enter into the eternal kingdom. So now she is absent the body, but she is present with the Lord. But we can't rightly say that she is dead. Her body is in the grave, but she's very much alive in the presence of the Lord. And I think that we can most certainly say that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And Tammy, as a believer, would be among that great cloud of witnesses. And then Paul in Hebrews says, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus is someone that you have your eyes fixed on. Jesus is also someone that Tammy has her eyes fixed on. Both of you have your eyes fixed on the resurrected Christ. Now, Tammy is not only in the presence of the Lord, but she's also in the presence of that great cloud of witnesses. And thus, I don't believe that she has less knowledge now, but I would imagine that she has more knowledge now. And though you are separated because she's no longer in the body, I don't think that you're ultimately separated, because you're united in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I think maybe you can pardon the words, but there certainly is a sense that she has requisite knowledge now in the presence of the Lord, and therefore she can intercede for you in the presence of the Lord. And so through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that veil between this life and the life to come has, in a sense, been eviscerated, and there is communion and community that we can have one with another. Now, again, we're separated because Tammy is no longer in the flesh. You are. But there's still a communion and a community of saints that binds those who have gone on before and those like you who are as yet in the land of the living.
Wow. Okay. I'm so glad I called, because I never thought of it in that way. I have to take some time to really digest the words that you've said, but I think I get the gist of it, and I appreciate you very much and the work that you do.
Well, and again, I am sorry for your loss. I have lost my parents, my mother, not all that long ago, and it's always a very, very difficult circumstance, and I've never prayed to my parents, but I certainly pray that my parents are praying for me in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which I talked about in the first part of the broadcast today, it affected so many different things. There are so many benefits. They're virtually innumerable. And that includes the elimination of the separation between this world and the world to come. And so I know that my parents, like Tammy, are very much alive. And just as I have asked people here to pray for me during my bout with cancer, I'm very grateful for those who intercede for me before God's very throne. It's also thinking about the fact that there's a reality in resurrection that we don't simply take on blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. And to that end, think of what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." In that passage, Paul actually recites a creedal statement that can be traced all the way back to almost the time of Messiah's murder. So it was passed on from that time orally, from one person to another person, from one church to another church, all until Paul recites this to the Corinthians. "For what I received," he said, "I passed on to you as of first importance." And the reason I point this out is Paul here makes a four-part argument for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He first says that Jesus Christ died, and the fatal suffering or the fatal torment of Jesus Christ is a well-established fact of ancient history, in fact, conceded to by secular as well as sacred scholars in the present. The second argument that Paul makes is that the tomb was empty. I've said it before, it bears repeating. Christianity simply could not survive an identifiable tomb that contained the corpse of Messiah. If such a tomb were found, it would be game over for the Christian faith. But the empty tomb was conceded by Christ's friends and foes alike, and I give a fuller argument for this in my book Resurrection, as well as Afterlife. The third irrefutable claim made in this creed is that Christ appeared, first to Peter, then to the 12, after that to 500, and then he appeared to James, and then to all the brothers, and last of all, Paul says, "He appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." And those appearances radically transformed the disciples, and Paul goes on to point out how he himself was radically transformed from a persecutor of Christians to a proselytizer for Christ. Paul was radically transformed, and so were a whole band of scared and scattered disciples who became lions of the faith, who turned an empire upside down. Now, how does that relate to you today as you're listening to the broadcast? If you truly believe in resurrection, you will count not your life worthy even unto death. You will make your focus not on this temporary existence, but on the eternal resurrected reality of Jesus Christ and the reality that you too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Well, again, I've written about this in various places, resurrection and afterlife, but we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can find all the resources on the web at equip.org, and thank you for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Skeptics such as Bart Ehrman claim that the New Testament manuscripts were modified to misrepresent the meaning of the message of our Messiah. Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on in his new film, Fragments of Truth, traveling the globe to track down the most ancient New Testament manuscripts. Spoiler alert, the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it's stronger than ever. To receive the DVD Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.